Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lammy.
The stars come out at night. It is Nick and Cecil on The Fan, and we go to that Johnson Auto Plaza VIP line and talk to longtime NFL reporter, also host on the Huddle and Flow podcast. It's Jim Trotter. Jim, good evening. Welcome to the show. It's Nick and Cecil. How's it going, Jim?
Good. How are you guys?
Always good. Always good to hear you talk about football. So first and foremost, I mean, my heart wants to ask about Deshaun Watson right away. But I just want to know, Jim, from the national perspective, what's wrong with the Denver Broncos? Like, what are the problems? What are the largest problems facing this team in your eyes?
I think, number one, it's a quarterback-driven league. So the fact that John Elway has been unable to address that position beyond Peyton Manning, it's an issue for the club. The other thing is, you know, I don't think they've drafted particularly well of late. So from my standpoint, they've got to get the quarterback position right, and you go from there.
Well, Jim, one of the biggest offseason topics has been, you know, diversity in the NFL. And we haven't really seen things turn over in the past couple of years as though any of us anticipated. Some of the names that have been tossed out there, Eric Bieniemy, Todd Bowles, and Brian Leftwich, all three of these guys were in the Super Bowl. What have you heard around the league or in your circles about making some other subtle changes other than just the Rooney Rule, and recently where the team that's losing may be someone to the front office or someone else acquiring a third-round pick? What else could actually be done to change this whole idea of diversity in the NFL?
You know, Nick, I'm not sure there is anything else that can be done from a league standpoint. When you get to the point that you're essentially bribing teams to hire black people, you've got a problem. And I always say that when you try and incentivize a process to have people do what's right, you've already done what's wrong. So I don't know that there's anything else that the league can do. This is not a league problem. This is an ownership issue. Owners are the ones who make the hires as it relates to head coaches and general managers. And right now they center on hiring black men. I mean, if you look at the last four hiring cycles, there have been 27 vacant head coaching positions and only three have gone to a black man. So you can't say that it's because there's a lack of qualified candidates. There are more than a few qualified candidates. You can start with Eric Bieniemy, who I believe is earning the opportunity to be a head coach in this league. Does that mean that I know he's going to be successful? No. What it means is that based on his resume, he has earned an opportunity to either succeed or fail on his own merits, just as everyone should have that opportunity. You look at other coaches that are available, whether it's Jim Caldwell, whether, you know, it's, you could look at Raheem Morris and how he's developed since that first go-around in Tampa. What he did with Atlanta last year after taking over an 0-5 team, I thought, was worthy of more consideration. I think Brian Leftwich's name is going to be in the mix going forward. He's never even had an interview. You know, we saw what Todd Bowles did last year. So there are a number of guys. So it's not about a lack of candidates. It's not about, you know, a pipeline that isn't filled. It's simply about owners now being willing to hire people who don't look like them. And until we get past that point, I'm not sure it's going to get much better.
Jim Trotter, longtime NFL reporter, host on the Huddle and Flow podcast, joining Nick and Cecil there on The Fan. And when we look at the quarterback position, as you mentioned, Jim, all about that quarterback and all about a new quarterback, the mobile quarterback. Gone are the days of the pocket passer. And when guys like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or Josh Allen, these threats to run the football, how has that changed in your eyes? And will more teams just kind of, you know, go for that look now? It wasn't that long ago when we thought of, and the general thought was like, oh, you know, you want that guy to sit in the pocket all day. Well, now I think the league's changed a lot. What observations have you seen?
No, I think for the league to prosper, it has to change, because if you look at the college game is primarily an RPO game. And so NFL clubs, if you're drawing your talent from the collegiate level, then if you want to succeed, you're going to have to adjust your game, because there aren't a lot of traditional classic pocket passers at the college level. And that's why I think we're seeing more athletic quarterbacks being brought into the NFL. What's interesting to me is that in week two, we had Doug Williams on our podcast early in the week. And unsolicited, Doug said, hey, do you realize that we've got four games this weekend whose head-to-head quarterbacks are black men? And I thought about it. I said, no, I hadn't even thought about it. And no one was talking about it. In Doug's eyes, to some degree, the fact that no one was talking about it was a sign of progress in the NFL that maybe we started to move past race as a factor in the evaluation of quarterbacks. Now, not everyone agrees with that, but there's no question that we've made progress. And part of that is due to the fact that at the collegiate level, they're running more RPOs. They want to put the ball in the best playmakers' hands. And we're seeing more black quarterbacks at the collegiate level, which is going to impact the NFL game.
Well, here's something that I was reading up on this, and it's kind of interesting because the game has not just changed from a quarterback RPO type of situation, but from a power shift situation. Do you think that based on what we've seen with Deshaun Watson, the comments from Russell Wilson, that there's going to be this power shift where more players start asking to be involved with organizational decisions like personnel?
You know, Nick, what's funny to me is that there's always been an element where a franchise quarterback in some way is involved with personnel, whether it's the general manager talking to him about players or prospective players that may be thinking about bringing in or even drafting, something along those lines. The funny thing is, like, you know, when you hear Russell Wilson's situation, I know for a fact he was heavily involved in wanting Antonio Brown to join the Seahawks. And because of that, the Seahawks were one of, what, three teams that made an offer to Antonio Brown to try and bring him in. Now, ultimately, he chose to go to Tampa. But had it not been for Russell Wilson, they would not have pursued Antonio Brown. So he has had some input in personnel. But teams are not going to allow, and you know this being a former player, teams are not going to allow players to dictate who comes and who goes. That's just the reality of it. And now, that's a different dynamic than whether or not a quarterback should be consulted or at least kept aware of what's going on. Down in Houston, Deshaun Watson had no idea they were going to get rid of Hopkins. And then after being told that he would be kept in the loop as far as what they were going to do with the head coaching position, he was not kept in the loop. And so, therefore, he feels betrayed on that based on people I've talked to. So, again, it comes down to a matter to some degree of respect. And look, this game revolves around the quarterback position. It's the most important position on the field, and it's a unique relationship. I'll tell you a quick story. When I say it's a unique relationship between the quarterback and the owner, I remember one time back in 2011 during the labor negotiations, and I was talking to a franchise quarterback, and I said, why don't we see more franchise quarterbacks step up as it relates to these labor discussions? And have the backs of their teammates and their other players around the league and whatnot. And to, you know, his credit, in terms of being honest, this quarterback said to me, it's because we have relationships with the owners outside of football. And when we're done playing, we have business relationships with them. And you just don't want to jeopardize those. So that's why you don't see, at least in his mind, that's why you don't see a lot of quarterbacks stepping up or stepping out front to take on controversial issues that you know, the owner might disagree with.
Iconic NFL reporter Jim Trotter joining Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And, Jim, my final question for you, and appreciate your time here tonight. Lie to me if you have to, but Deshaun Watson, is he coming to Denver or not? where does he land? And as I always tell Broncos fans, like, hey, at least you're not the Texans. Because, my God, is that team just in shambles. But where's Deshaun Watson going? And if you'd like to say Denver, you know, I'd like that.
How about this for a hot take? I don't know where he's going. Let me say this to you, though. It is the Houston Texans, at this point, do not plan to move him. And why do I say that? One, they've said that publicly, yeah. But two, look at what they've done. When they were interviewing candidates for the head coaching position, one of the prerequisites for getting that job was keeping Tim Kelly as the offensive coordinator. Why? because, number one, Deshaun had a great season under Tim Kelly last season. There's a comfort level there and whatnot.
Right.
And the Texans knew that Deshaun was likely not to report in training camp and maybe not up until week one because of his feelings right now. And if he were to report week one, as it was explained to me, they wanted a system in place and a coordinator in place that he could hit the ground running, be comfortable, and then just off and going. Now, having said that, could they change their mind? Yes, because people that I've spoken to close to Deshaun are adamant that they believe he has played his final game for the Houston Texans. Even though he can be fined if he doesn't show up for training camp, all of those things, they believe that he is a man of principle and conviction, and he has made up his mind that he is done with the Texans. So, to me, this is going to be fascinating what happens, because everything I know about Deshaun Watson is that he is a stand-up guy, he is a classy guy, he is of high character, and for him to take this position tells me that he feels he is being wronged in a very serious way.
Well, the off season is always very interesting, and it's a great time for us who cover, you know, sports, especially football. But I don't believe that we've hit, I guess, the most shocking story of the 2021 offseason. So what do you think, in your opinion? Now, we're talking about Deshaun Watson and the fact that whether, you know, he's going to stand on his morals, he may take some money as far as a loss and the Texans deciding to hold on to him. But are there any other stories before free agency starts that is going to be overwhelming and shocking to us once it unfolds?
Now, before free agency starts, which is right around the corner, I don't believe so. I mean, look, the biggest domino is Deshaun, and I don't believe anything's going to happen there before free agency or even the draft. So, barring that, I don't see Russell Wilson getting moved, as much as people may want to talk about that. That's the thing about the NFL. There's just so much interest in it that any morsel or any rumor of you know, something that people speculate on just takes on a life of its own.
Right.
And Russell Wilson may be unhappy at this point, but I don't see him being moved again, because moving franchise quarterbacks who are under tremendous contracts is very difficult to do, particularly if you're not getting much in return immediately. So as we look at the quarterback landscape, we've seen Matt Stafford move. We've seen Jared Goff move. We've seen Carson Wentz move. The dominoes that are remaining are Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, and I don't see either of those prior to free agency or the draft being moved at this point, if at all. So I hate to say that, Nick, but I don't think there's really a really big story out there. I think we're going to see potentially the Saints face some sort of discipline over COVID-19 protocols, breaches of COVID-19 protocols late in the season. Outside of that, I don't think we're going to see a lot else.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you said a mouthful, because the Broncos fans here, they've had their, height set on getting a guy like Deshaun Watson, and it doesn't seem like it's going to actually take place. So that means that George Payton and the Broncos will have to look elsewhere to bring in the veteran guy to actually compete or lead that of Drew Lock. So, man, it's always great to have you on. Cecil and I can talk football with you all night long, and I don't want to tie you up, but thank you for giving us a moment of your time, and really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure, man, guys. You guys have a good night.
There we have him. That's Jim Trotter. You want to talk about icon and NFL reporting, dude?
Yeah.
So much knowledge. That's a guy we could talk football with all night.
Yeah, we can. And
no doubt.
I didn't want to, you know, eat up his time, because I had more questions that swirl around in my
right.
head. But you have to be good to your guests and be and make sure that you are respectful of their time. So we'll definitely have him on at some other point once free agency gets into full swing. But he said some very interesting things that I don't know if Broncos country will really be able to digest, Cecil.
Why Jim Trotter may have just broken the hearts of Broncos country, next.